Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, if Harry Carey were still alive, he'd be doing another holy cow, would he not? A certainly holy cow moment last night, all night, really, starting at about 7:30 p.m. Eastern time and all the way up until, well, my head hit the pillow at 3:12 a.m. Eastern time. And about 18 minutes later at 3:30 in the morning, my darling wife, Gina, woke up and said, "What happened?" And I told her, and then, of course, then we had a conversation for the next 30 minutes, and I think it was about 4 a.m. the last time I checked, and then finally fell off to sleep. But what a holy cow, talk about an amazing, amazing night. I was way more into it, actually, than I expected to be. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. And I was with the lieutenant governor here in North Carolina, Dan Forrest, a buddy of mine and a great Christian man, won his reelection bid last night. Thank you, Lord. And only first time in history that a Republican lieutenant governor in the state of North Carolina has won reelection. So I was there. My wife was there. Three of our four kids are in town. Amelia's up in New York, as many of you know, at school. And man, it was a big crowd, and as you know, it starts off kind of slow, and as returns start coming in, no big deal. But then, what's going to happen with Florida? What's going to happen with North Carolina? What's going to happen with New Hampshire? What's going to happen with Ohio? And those things, and because we're sitting around talking, you know, and a lot of people around here and the people that were there are like, hey, Steve, what do you think? And you know, I've got my little electoral college map on my phone, and I'm working all that stuff and saying, well, if he doesn't win Florida, this is pretty much over. And then, boom. He wins Florida. The whole place erupts. And then, you know, and I was right there with them. And it was, and again, I've been very straightforward with you over these months that, for me, it was more of a, we might keep the Clinton 2.0 monster out of the White House. But then there was a hopeful side to me as well. It wasn't just a defensive position. But there was a hopeful side to me as well that, hey, maybe we're going to get a chance to fix some things here and move in a positive direction. Maybe, the Lord will have mercy on us. And I said, you know, if Trump wins tonight and Hillary is defeated, then I'm still looking at it this way, that yes, it's a blessing, but it's a blessing in terms of, I think it's God's mercy, giving us another opportunity. And I'm not lifting up Donald Trump here. Giving us an opportunity to, hey, let's get serious. Let's plug in here. Let's try to work with this representative republic that God has allowed us to establish, in this great nation. And so Florida and then North Carolina, of course, the place blew up at North Carolina. And then you get Ohio and then you get Michigan and then, but it's just not going to end. So about like 12:15 or whatever, the historic home where they were gathering last night, where we were. They're like, okay, you can't stay. I mean, we're in a neighborhood, downtown Raleigh, historic kind of neighborhood. So everybody's got to leave. So we jump in the car, listening to local radio. I pull up Fox News through iHeartRadio or whatever, drive that all the way home, and then watching it unfold. And then, you know, you remember this, of course, the Podesta thing. He comes out, and he's like, well, okay, we're going to wait until every vote is counted because every vote counts. And I'm sitting there going, wow, so what? What? So we go to bed now? What's up with that? And then I'm thinking, well, Hillary doesn't even show up. What's up with that? And then at one point, it's like, okay, well, Donald Trump's actually going to show up with Mike Pence at the headquarters thing there in New York. And that's about, at that point, that's when I fell asleep. And Hayden, who was still awake, was on the couch. He was asleep. And then the next minute, when I woke up, this was several minutes later, Mike Pence is speaking. And I'm like, what happened? All of a sudden, you realize, wow, this has actually happened, this modern miracle, if you will. And then, of course, Donald Trump steps up to the plate. And here's just a little bit of what he had to say.
Just received a call from Secretary Clinton.
This is like 2:50 in the morning or something.
She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time. And we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. It's time. I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans, and this is so important to me. For those who have chosen not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people.
That's pretty funny.
I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so that we can work together and unify our great country. As I've said from the beginning, ours was not a campaign, but rather an incredible and great movement made up of millions of hardworking men and women who love their country and want a better, brighter future for themselves and for their family. It's a movement comprised of Americans from all races, religions, backgrounds, and beliefs who want and expect our government to serve the people, and serve the people it will.
All right, so that was part of Donald Trump's acceptance speech. He went on for about 15 minutes. That was about 3 o'clock in the morning or whenever that was. And you know, I think it was for being a guy with a major ego throughout all of his life, as far as we know. I mean, I think it was a pretty humble approach. I think it was the right approach. It was the right tone. You know, I consider and critique the way that he speaks. He's not exactly an incredible orator. But the right tone, the right words, and hopefully the right start. Why did it happen? The movement, all that. We're going to talk about all that when we come back. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. It is T plus one day into the president-elect Donald Trump and perhaps and hopefully a new future for the country. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Yes, believe it or not, President-elect Donald Trump, it's all official as far as the way it works. It actually isn't totally official yet. A couple other things have to happen. You may not remember this from your civics lessons when you were a wee little lad. But then you've got in December, you've got the Electoral College vote will come. That makes it kind of official from an Electoral College perspective. And then he doesn't actually become the president until January 20th when he's sworn in. So this is all part of the process. There's close to 7,000 positions that the president has an opportunity to appoint just throughout the administrative world and the executive branch. And so this whole transfer of power, it'll be a very, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall tomorrow when it's Donald Trump and Obama? And, you know, and I think earlier today, Hillary's comments were, I think they were respectful and somewhat optimistic. I think Obama was as well. I mean, this is just an awesome thing. I was talking to my son Clay earlier today. Like, praise the Lord that in this country, and for over 230 years now, we have had a peaceful transfer of power. And we're not talking about, hey, whose turn is it to cut the grass or whose turn is it to call the shots today over here on the work site? This is a peaceful transition of power that will occur between now and January 20th with arguably the most powerful position, single position on the face of the planet. And I thought, did you think this? I thought there was going to be, if Trump won, I thought there was probably going to be, and even if Hillary won, I thought maybe there's going to be some rioting or some violence and stuff. And there just wasn't. And maybe there will be in the future. But the fact that there wasn't last night was gratifying. I was praising the Lord for that. I'm praising the Lord for this victory. And again, I was much more anti-Hillary than I was pro-Trump. But now we change our prayer focus. And now we got to consider, hey, where's he going with all this? And we need to be praying for this man. I think, you know, experientially, he doesn't have the government experience, which on one side is great. And on the other side will present some challenges. His cabinet, this could be the all-star cabinet of the last 100 years. I mean, easily. Because as a successful businessman, he's used to hiring the best people he can find. And he's smart like that. And I expect that that's what's going to happen. Could you imagine? I mean, talk about the Clinton Foundation and everything, Clinton Cash. What if Rudy Giuliani is the attorney general? What if Ben Carson is the surgeon general? And then on and on and on you go. What if Mike Lee is the first one he appoints to the Supreme Court? What if Ted Cruz is the second one? You start seeing all kinds of possibilities here and really a return to founding principles. If he follows through, if the people around him, if he continues to build a great group of people around him, including evangelicals, I'm hopeful that this has been very humbling for Donald Trump. I mean, his ego's and all in it. Every presidential race takes massive egos. I'll take some calls today, by the way. So I've got several stories here to go through, but if you want to call in and just share, what do you think happened? Why do you think Donald Trump won? Why do you think Hillary Clinton was defeated? Or if you just want to kind of just share your reaction to all of this, praise God, whatever you want to do, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share that with the rest of us today. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And yesterday, not one, not two, but three callers who were voting yesterday for the first time in their lives, and they were all north of 60 years of age. And one of them, I think it was Brenda, if I remember your name correctly, ma'am, called in, and I just suggested and encouraged her in a direction to the anti-Hillary direction and a vote for Donald Trump direction. And it looked like that right there in the air, she was going to take that recommendation. I praise the Lord for that. And again, I'm super excited about this. And I'm reservedly excited about Donald Trump. I think to a certain extent, he may be a clean slate. For himself, I mean, again, he's been surrounded by a bunch of evangelicals who are, I know for a fact, have been sharing the gospel with them. And who knows? I mean, I get very nervous about presuming to know what God is up to. I know he loves everybody and he's willing to die for it. I know what he wants because I know his word. I know what he expects of a nation that lifts up righteousness is blessed, and a nation that sins is not. That's clear throughout Scripture. Could Donald Trump be judgment? Could he become the monster that many people think he is, that some of the Never Trumpers think he is? Yes, he could. But I think in a representative republic, even as far down as we've gone, I think that's still highly unlikely. He can't become Hitler. We just don't live in that kind of an environment, at least not yet. And so that kind of stuff and some of the wild things that like Glenn Beck has said in the past, and Sean Hannity today was gloating a little bit, and I would challenge all of us, we should never gloat. You don't like it when other people gloat over you. We shouldn't gloat over others. And we need to start, especially in the body of Christ, we need to start repairing these relationships that were put under a lot of stress, thanks in no small part to Facebook. And we need to kind of, all right, let's come back together here, because our unity in Christ is more important even than the condition of the nation. But again, this is this paradox that we live in as Christians, where we're very serious and engaged in the here and the now, but also looking forward to the there and the then. And we're sober-minded and we're involved. Apathy is not really an option if you're a Christian. But knowing that your ultimate citizenship, if you're a follower of Christ like mine, is in the kingdom. And so we kind of live between these two worlds, the two cities, as it's called. So let's think about that as we move forward. But if you want to call in and share, why do you think Donald Trump won? Why do you think what happened last night happened? Or this morning, to be more accurate. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to Dina, who's calling in right quick. Dina, you're on with Steve and Call to Action. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My comment is that, you know, God often chooses broken vessels or vessels for his purpose that we would never have expected. It's easy just to look at the disciples he chose, who were crude, rough fishermen, and, And you look at his genealogy list, and it's not exactly a glowing bunch of church-going people in there.
That's for sure.
But I feel that if we had a strong Christian candidate that had won, it may have been easy for us to begin to look at that individual and even idolize that person. But I think that Trump had some characteristics where he may have been the only person that could have defeated Hillary, perhaps because of his confidence, whether it was founded or not. He's a fighter. He is got a big ego, but I think that's kind of what it took for him to make it all the way, and he does know how to get people stimulated. So I just want to say that when it came to so many people calling in to different radio shows and saying that they struggled with their conscience, I think my conscience would have suffered a great deal more had I not voted for Trump. When you look at, we know Hillary's track record.
Right, that's
with
right.
The abortion issue and so much. And Trump, we just have to see how it plays out. He is saying the right thing, support of Israel, anti-abortion, so many issues. But again, the people he has surrounded him with says a great deal, such as James Robinson, Ben Carson, Mike.
Oh, yeah. And that's a great point. That's a great point, Dina. And I appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling in today. You're welcome. And that's, you got to look at the people around him, and he's said a lot of things, but remember, he's kind of Johnny come lately to the conservative movement. That was his only choice ultimately. So I'm still very sober minded about Donald Trump. I hope you are too, which is why we need to, number one, pray for him. And number two, as far as I'm concerned, and the opportunity and the platform God has given me, I will do whatever I can to hold not only him, but his administration and the Congress accountable. Because now they've got this clean sweep. You got the presidency, you have both houses of Congress, all controlled by Republicans, many of whom are conservatives. Will they turn it around? We're all watching. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could ever dream. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Feeling much better today than I was yesterday. And, you know, I was wrong. I was pessimistic. I was 60-40. Hillary is going to win. And then last night, as one big state over another fell, I mean, really, really incredible to watch. It was really amazing. I mean, just a totally amazing change of events last night. And there's still a few states that haven't completely finalized their numbers. Arizona is out. Michigan is out. New Hampshire is out. But everything else, I mean, Wisconsin, he won Wisconsin. It was Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, that was nuts. Florida, of course. And Utah, everybody thought no way he's going to win Utah. And he did. So just an amazing, amazing night. I want to get to D right quick, who's been kind enough to stay on hold for a little while. D, you're on with Steve and Call to Action. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to ask you, from one Christian to another, would you refer to our current president as President Obama? It kind of sounds disrespectful to continue to say Obama, because very soon, whether we want to or not, we will all be saying President Trump. That's my comment.
All right. I will say that again. I'm not quite following, because do I not usually refer to him as President Obama? I'm not tracking with you.
Well,
here. I'm sorry.
All day I've been listening for most of my ride today, and all I've heard is Obama, Obama.
Oh, as opposed to saying President Obama.
Yes.
That was not meant to be disrespectful, but thanks for calling me out on it. I need to remember to say that. Sometimes we just fly around and we say, well, Trump or Hillary. I mean, I got into a conversation the other day, D, with somebody that said, why do we say Trump's last name and Hillary's first name? And I was like, well, you know what? That's an interesting point. Am I somehow disrespecting women? I don't think that I am, but perhaps because I'm a fallen human being, maybe I am. But I also think, like with Clinton, I say Clinton, and because I'm 50, so I say Clinton, I'm like, well, which one? But in this case, yes, President Obama. Thanks for the correction. I appreciate that. We need to respect him whether you like him or not.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, D. And see, you know, now that's, you know, I'm not bragging on myself. That's how this is supposed to work in the body of Christ. She said, D said, from one Christian to another, I totally received that. And yes, President Obama and President-elect Trump, which is... I mean, no disrespect meant to Mr. Trump, But really? It's like the Twilight Zone in America anymore. Let's go to Linda, who's calling in real quick from Gastonia, which is right there near Charlotte, North Carolina. Linda, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the great program. I really always enjoy it.
Thank you.
One thing I want to just touch on real quick is this. I think people get really uptight for some reason about saying Obama. Like, nobody ever said Bush, Lincoln, Roosevelt.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just a thing that people, they just, you know, instead of saying President, you know, Obama, President Lincoln, you know, I mean, that's a custom. We have Reagan, you know. I mean, so anyway, that was just one little tidbit. The thing I think about the election is, there were many factors. But if you look at Trump swept the coal states.
Yep.
And Hillary herself did herself in when she said, I am going to put you out of business. She said that herself.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody put those words in her mouth.
Nope.
Nobody twisted her words. She said it. She went on the record saying, we are going to put the coal business and coal miners out of work, out of business. And he swept them. That you don't mess around with people's livelihoods like that. That is just
especially when you make $300,000 for a mediocre 25-minute speech.
Exactly. And so that was one factor. The other factor, I mean, there were multiple factors, but I think another big factor was the evangelicals, I believe, did come out and vote for Trump this year, whereas they did not come out for Romney.
And I've got some numbers on that. Linda, great points, and thanks for your thoughts about the presidential names, too, as well. Let's not assume, and that's why I said to her, you know, could my heart be wrong? Could I be disrespecting President Obama by saying Obama? Perhaps I am. I know myself well enough now. I generally don't mean I'm kind of getting on an President Obama rant. If I say Barack Hussein Obama. When I do that, generally I'm doing it because I'm digging and using his middle name to try to just dig. But most of the time, yeah, Reagan, Wilson, Roosevelt, all that, you know. And I'm not choosing sides with that. It's just kind of a vernacular, no big deal. So we need to be careful. I appreciate, and we need to check our heart. So hey, maybe I'm off there, maybe I'm not. But I think we need to be willing to say, hey Steve, maybe you need to think about this. Okay, that's cool. Maybe I do. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm right. But we love each other in Christ and we can move on. Okay. So she mentioned evangelicals. Check this out. Exit polls suggest that Never Trump was never a likely outcome for white evangelical voters who showed up to support President-elect Donald Trump at their highest margin since 2004. Now, these are exit polls, so take them with a little bit more than a grain of salt. White born-again evangelical Christians cast their ballots for the controversial real estate mogul turned politician at an 81% to 16% margin over Hillary Clinton. While Clinton's campaign largely ignored the evangelical outreach, Trump spent a lot of time. He did a good job with that. The fact of the matter is that in this race, the only one of the two major party candidates even pretended to care about white evangelicals, tweeted Obama's former faith advisor, Michael Ware. So you had Mike Pence in there, but four out of five white evangelicals broke for Trump. That's a big deal. Prayer is a big deal. I think prayer was definitely a part of it, and as it should be. And I think what drove the prayer? I think fear. Now, I'm not saying fear, not necessarily like I don't trust God fear, but fear of what will it mean for this nation, for my four children, for your children, for their grandchildren, if Hillary Clinton becomes the president, and if Hillary Clinton gets her way with the Supreme Court and with Obamacare and this, that, and the other thing. And you go, well, none of that's good. None of it. And so, holy cow, I have to do something to stop that. That's why I pragmatically voted for Donald Trump. I was not endorsing anything about his character flaws, many that there are, and all the other junk. I was just trying to hold back the tide as much as I possibly could, given the broken resources that we're always working with here on the planet Earth. Paul Ryan said he called it the most incredible political feat I've seen in my lifetime. Donald Trump turned politics on its head and heard a voice out in this country that no one else heard. So white evangelicals showed up. Check this out. This was very interesting in some of the exit polling. 88% of blacks went for Clinton and 65% of Latinos went for Clinton. But Obama in 2012 got 93% of the black vote and 71% of the Latino vote. So the black and the Latino vote, at least according to exit polls with CNN, went down. People that were not happy with either candidate, 70% went to Trump. 45% of the people were bothered, they said, a lot by the emails. And of those 45% of the people that said they were bothered a lot by the emails, 87% went to Trump. And so, and then back to the coal mine comment, the coal miners comment, that's that kind of overlooked, by the elite, by the media, kind of the white, blue collar worker out there who, and I don't mean any disrespect this, by this is probably going to resonate Donald Trump's kind of rough style, because despite the fact that he's a billionaire and a very successful businessman, he's the most rough communicator of any uber wealthy guy I've ever heard. And so that's that kind of down on the street, forget the pomp and circumstance and the polished words and the big words and all that kind of stuff. Donald Trump's just kind of a street level communicator and a just kind of a street fighter. And those people who feel overlooked by pretty much all of the establishment, certainly the elite media, are like, no, forget it. And, you know, and this Obama guy told me my healthcare costs were going to go down. Now I got to get a second mortgage. I can't even afford my healthcare costs. So all that stuff starts factoring in there. You want to start running down all these numbers that Sean Hannity's been throwing at us every day. 50 million people in poverty, including 50 million people in food stamps, 13 million more than when Obama took the office, the lowest labor participation rate since the 1970s. We have 95 million of our fellow Americans not working, the lowest homeowner rate in 50 years. Listen to this. One in five families, nobody has a job. One out of five families. Nobody has a job. Obamacare. You can't keep your doctor, and premiums are skyrocketing. A 58% increase in black folks that are on food stamps. So African Americans with an African American president, and 58% increase of black Americans that are on food stamps. More debt than every president combined behind Obama. One thing after another, then emails, the Clinton Foundation, Benghazi, Libya, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all this stuff, and it just kind of blew up in Hillary's face into Donald Trump's favor. The right person at the right time with the right message, which is why the 15 other Republican nominees couldn't beat him, because he tapped into all of that stuff. I don't know that he was thinking about doing it. I just think that's just kind of how he is, and the way it all shook out in this particular moment in American history, and whammo. Now, some other things that were kind of sad, and then I'm going to talk when we come back about Donald's made a bunch of promises about his first 100 days in the White House, and I'm going to go through that, because there's some things, those are the things that's the list that we need to use to hold not only the president accountable, but Congress accountable. But when we come back, a little bit about Van Jones, uber liberal, he used to be in the Obama White House. This was a white lash against a black president, a white lash as opposed to a backlash. This country is not united. It is deeply divided. We have a role in that, by the way, as Christians. I'll touch on that as well. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. I'm feeling a little bit less of that today. Too much information running through my brain now that we're on the other side of the election yesterday. Historic, monumental, apocalyptic, miraculous, whatever word you want to use. It was certainly an amazing, amazing afternoon and evening and night, and then late night and then early morning, and on and on and on it goes. And just amazing to see what this country did. Perhaps the most bizarre, certainly the most negative in terms of people's opinions of these two candidates, the highest negatives in history for candidates running for the office. And just, but this is just where we're at in this country, which is why I'm bringing up this article. Van Jones, who used to serve in the Obama administration, very liberal, black gentleman. And he's a commentator. So last night, of course, a lot of people were melting down as this reality began to hit them, decried the election of Republican Donald Trump as a white lash against a black president, and wondered how some Americans, specifically minorities, Muslims, and immigrants, will explain to their children what happened at the polls on Tuesday. People have talked about a miracle. I'm hearing about a nightmare, a dejected Jones said. It's hard to be a parent tonight for a lot of us. This was many things. This was a rebellion against the elites. True. It was a complete reinvention of politics and polls. It's true. but it was also something else. We've talked about everything but race tonight. We've talked about income. We've talked about class. We've talked about region. We haven't talked about race. Well, Van, if you're going to talk about race, you better talk about Hillary. Because I think Hillary Clinton was the number one factor in this election of Donald Trump, not race. This was a white lash against the changing country. It was a white lash against a black president. In part, he continued, and that's the part where the pain comes. And Donald Trump has a responsibility tonight to come out and reassure people that he's going to be the president of all the people who he insulted and offended and brushed aside. I certainly think Donald took a big step towards representing everybody as much as any president can do that, regardless of their party. But this type of language, whether you're black or white, have a platform or not, that broad brush, massive statement language, just throwing all kinds of groups of people under the bus, is so dangerous. It's reckless. It's unloving. It's unkind. It's irresponsible. And it just does massive amounts of damage. That's why, I mean, like some of my Never Trump friends going, well, Donald Trump built his fortune on the backs of the poor. I'm like, come on. All right. Prove that. Listen, somebody sent me an email, said, well, this is what Donald Trump said about Republicans, that they're all stupid. So the only way he could ever be a president is if he runs as a Republican from 1998. It was a meme, right? So it was a picture and then the words are put on top of it and put out on social media. And we go, oh man, that's incredible. And then somebody else on the email chain comes back and says, hey, I checked that out. That actually probably never actually was said by Donald Trump. See, that all that junk's out there. And so we hear a quote. Listen, I'll just confess to you. I hear a quote. And if it lines up with my worldview and my personal agenda, I'm like, yeah, look at that, man. I don't even stop for a second to wonder sometimes if it's actually true. And then the media just takes us up on that because we're so emotional. We get so invested in politics and the shape of the culture that we're just going to grab onto anything that bolsters my opinion of all the rest of the dirtbags out there or the people in charge. Or whatever your ox that you want to gore, whatever it is. And that, again, is just the depravity of mankind, including myself, a guy that loves Jesus a lot and knows the word fairly well and tries to walk in holiness. And God has stuck me on the radio. And even then, again, I don't know who taught me this, but always be suspicious of yourself. That's that great humility that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Realizing that, like Paul, I don't do what I should do. I do what I shouldn't do. Who will save me from this wretched body of death? And then he goes into this great exaltation about Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. So, boy, I really got off on a tangent there. Okay, so here's something we're going to use to hold Donald Trump accountable, as well as everybody else, all these Republicans who now have the reins to all of it. Both houses of Congress and the executive branch. This is a massive power grab, and they can do all kinds of stuff. So here's his 100-day action plan to make America great again. Now this is what we got to hold him to, right? Listen to this. This is pretty amazing. First, propose a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. Good luck with that, Donald, but I love the idea. Second, a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce the federal workforce through attrition, exempting military, public safety, and public health. Third, a requirement that for every new federal regulation, two existing regulations must be eliminated. See, that's a business guy. You want to spend more, but we're way over budget here. We got to start cutting. You want to spend, we got to cut and get under the budget first before we add anything. So I love that. Fourth, a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service. Do you know that a lot of lobbyists in D.C. are former legislators? Federal legislators. And did you know that a lot of them make a 7-figure income? That's $1 million and up. Fifth, a lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. Amen. Sixth, a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. Awesome. Here he says 7 actions to protect American workers. First, I will announce my intention to renegotiate NAFTA or withdraw from the deal under Article 2205. So this is where it'll get a little dicey with Donald playing hardball on the international stage with entire countries, not just some real estate developer or some government official or some guy that owns the land down the street. This is going to be very interesting. It requires a lot of our prayers. Second, I will announce our withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Boom. Let's see, he's America first. Now that nationalism can be dangerous. but it can also be helpful. So he's got to walk a fine line. We need to pray. Third, I will direct the Secretary of the Treasury to label China a currency manipulator. Wow. We need to pray. Fifth, here's another one. I will lift the restrictions on the production of $50 trillion worth of job-producing American energy reserves, including shale, oil, natural gas, and clean coal. Drill now, drill everywhere, baby. Yes, I love that. Sixth, lift the Obama-Clinton roadblocks and allow vital energy infrastructure projects like the Keystone Pipeline. Thank you very much. Tons of jobs. That'll help the economy. Seventh, cancel billions in payments. I love this. Cancel billions in payments to the UN climate change programs and use the money to fix America's water and environmental infrastructure. So early this morning when he was doing his speech, he goes, we're going to have the best roads. They're going to be the first top notch around the world. You know, it's typical Donald talk. President-elect Trump, you know what I'm talking about. And I go, how are you going to pay for that? Well, that's a good way. Take the billions of dollars we pour down the toilet called the UN and spend them on taking care of our own country. Five actions to restore security. First, cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, and order issued by President Obama. Awesome. Second, begin the process of selecting a replacement for Justice Scalia from one of the 20 judges on my list who will uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. Totally awesome. Could you imagine if it's Mike Lee? What if it's Ted Cruz? I don't put any of that past him at this point. Third, cancel all federal funding to sanctuary cities. Fourth, begin removing the more than 2 million criminal illegal immigrants from the country and cancel visas to foreign countries that won't take them back. So he's playing hardball. Fifth, suspend immigration from terror-prone regions where vetting cannot safely occur. Okay, he's not saying don't let any Muslims in. He softened on that. He's saying if we can't do a great job of vetting, let's hold off for a while because we got to get the vetting in place. Some other things he talked about, middle-class tax relief. A big thing there, corporate rate down to 15% from 35%. That's a big deal. Here's this. Check this out. Did you even know this? I didn't know this. School Choice and Education Opportunity Act. Dig on this. Redirects education dollars to give parents the right to send their kid to the public, private, charter, magnet, religious, or homeschool of their choice. Yay, yes, and amen. Ends Common Core and brings education supervision to local communities. Get the Fed out of the educational process. It expands vocational and technical education and makes 2- and 4-year college more affordable. Got to be able to pay for it. He's the only president in modern history that's talked about the Johnson Amendment. Do you know what the Johnson Amendment is? Former Senator Johnson then became the president, right, when JFK was assassinated? The Johnson Amendment, which is why pastors think, and 501c3 people, of which I'm one, but I know the law and I'm not afraid of it. That's why I can tell you I'll tell you who I'm voting for and who I think you should vote for. People would say, that's against the law. Really? Take me to court. But that's the Johnson Amendment, which is why so many pastors are afraid to talk about politicians. Oh, the amendment. We're not allowed to do that. He wants to get rid of that. He's the only presidential candidate, now president-elect in modern history, to even talk about it. Listen to this. Buy insurance across all 50 states. I ran a house painting company for 14 years. I figured that out 5 years ago. Hey, here's a good reason. Here's a good thing. Let's do it like car insurance. And I can go buy car insurance all over the country. And now it's a little more complicated on health insurance, but let the market do it. Why can't I buy my health insurance from the state of Nebraska? Let it be competitive. That's how the market works. I love that. Full audit of the Pentagon. Woo! To eliminate waste, abuse, and collect unpaid taxes. So there's all kinds of great things there. Now, you may think he's a bloviating jerk, and he might be. But there's some great stuff there that I'm excited about and hopeful about. But we need to be praying for the president-elect, Donald Trump. He is going to be the president. The Electoral College will verify in December. He will be, God willing, sworn in on January 20th. He will be the president of the United States. So we need to pray for this guy. He's in a totally different world. He's going to walk into this mess. He's used to being Donald Trump, the autocrat. He can't operate that way. In Washington, D.C., underneath our representative form of government, underneath the constitutional republic, where the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, he can't just do whatever he wants, and his name isn't going to be on the outside of the building. So we need to pray that he learns quickly. I pray for his humility, and more than anything else, he's heard the gospel so many times now in the last 6 months from some of the people that are around him. I pray he's born again. Pray that the man will be born again. Pray for godly wisdom. Pray for godly counsel. Pray for his protection. Pray for the next 2 months as we transition. Pray that President Obama doesn't abuse his power over the next 60 days. Pray for this nation. Pray for awakening in the culture and revival in the church. So we were praying all about Hillary and the election. That's done. Thank you, Lord. We must continue to pray. By the way, go to 1timtim2.org. Pray1tim2, as in 1 Timothy chapter 2, .org, and sign up to pray for people in your state. This is Steve Noble thanking God today, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.